Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing. The work of God is good. As the work of God, it positions people according to their perfect position in Him. I know the Lord, the way I know Him, He's very organized and He evaluates everything. He considers everything. And when he gives someone something to do, He put them in a position where they'll be the most, where they'll be a blessing the most. And he thinks of all things. And the plan that He has, it works to undo the danger that's been done. The way that people have gotten off track. His works, everything He does, it helps to get people back on track. Some works just make people curious so that they'll have more vision. You know, the Lord does things in order. He saves those whom He can. And salvation itself is a light to the world. But many people live, they don't expect to go any further than what they've seen. And the enemy is trying to shape things according to a worldly standard. You know, the world never liked the fact that the church is the light of the world. The world works to dim the light. Satan is trying to stop the light. So the world works to start a dimming process. It can't stop the light, so it tries to dim it. And the resistance that you feel, that's the world itself trying to dim the light to get you to stop what you're doing in Christ. You know, Peter and John healed the lame man when he was healed at the beautiful gate. They were strictly commanded to stop preaching in Jesus' name. The religious institution wants to stop the light. The world, the worldly religious system. And the church have bought into that. This happened a long time ago. This happened before the covenant was finished. People were trying to stop the light. Dim the light. Make people feel bad about being the light. And in many ways the church have bought into this. And the leaders have bought into it. And they preach the word in a diminished form. The Lord told Jeremiah once, He said, "Diminish not a word." And one day we're going to read that word that He spoke. And He couldn't diminish not a word. Well, in my ministry, I endeavor to do exactly what God gives me to do. The assignments, everything that He gives, that's what I do. And I learn from it, and I gain vision from it. I can see more. I can see more in others if they do the same thing. Now, as we all follow God, we play a different part, a different role. The work is one work, but what God gives you to do, it would be necessary, it'll be well thought out, it'll be something you never could dream of on your own. Because it's not by might. It's not by your might. Your ability to think and reason and judge and plan, that's your might. And it's not by power. It's not by the power of the people. It's not in them either. This all comes from the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the assignment, and remember, like always, the format, your format is in the instruction God gives you. And it has to be developed, just like a baby has to be, once it's conceived, he or she grows and develops and turns to a baby, and then a toddler, and then a teenager, then an adult. You know, we grow. Well, the plan of God is no different. And the formats, the DNA of a child is in it was at the conception. They are designed for a specific purpose. And when they are full adult, operating in their right mind, that's the finished product. That's the potential God put out there. But the structure was inside of his DNA or her DNA. Well, your format is the DNA of your ministry. And if you deviate from it, it's something else. It becomes a hybrid. Hybrids are not what God, men and angels didn't work out. God had to destroy men, that men-angel hybrids. The work of God, let it be a pure work. It already has a format. It has its own unique format. Every ministry does. And the things that God give me is dear. I'm going to watch and see what God give me to do. And I'm going to do exactly what he says with all my strength. See, it's not by might or power, but we serve God with our spirit, with our mind, with our might. Even though it's not by might, we put ourselves in it. It's my will to do this. But the format is not of me. It's of him. My actions, I just do what he say do. And it joins together. The man side and the God side comes together to form a finished work. And the format comes alive on the earth, on the ground. And to change the facts on the ground. To set a new standard. Every ministry of God sets a new standard among those who receive it. And also among those who reject it, because they saw the light and they'll have to be judged by what they understood. And it sets and some people come in later, some people respond later, some people respond early. But those who finish that race are the ones that are the fruit of your labor. It's not in vain. But when in any part of the world that a man or a woman of God receives, it starts a hybrid process in what God has done. And it diminishes the potency of what God was doing in their life. Every time they love the world somewhere. That's why our focus has to be pure. Or we'll end up doing the same works that King Saul was doing. Now, Apostle Paul started out doing the works of King Saul, killing Christians. People can change. Just like people can change at any time to the good, they can also change for the bad. And sometimes people are not used to that, because when people deviate in their heart, when their love changes, they deviate in their heart. But they still hold the position they had, just like King Saul. He was still recognized as the king among men. Even David. And David called him anointed. But David was anointed to be king over Israel in his place. But David wasn't going to go and force him out. He left that to God. And Saul, through his fear, tried to kill David. See, fear is a driver. We explained it on the last broadcast a little bit. The way it works is, the way it has no foundation, it's not even real. But if you fear something, you believe something. And if you act on it, you're acting towards a demise. You're believing and speaking and acting on a demise in your life. Just like on the faith side, you believing and speaking and acting on the faith of God's word. You're acting on God's word, and it becomes real in your life to change the facts on the ground where you are. Whatever you spoke, you remember, you're in the God class. You're made in his image. Whatever you speak on your life, that's what starts developing. You got one problem. The will of man is the will of man. God can't change his will. All he can do is give him more light. He won't change a person's will. Now, you can pray for the presidents and leaders. They affect you. Because they do, the Lord can cause them to do what's necessary. And he can use them beyond, he can put them in a corner. and cause them to do what's necessary. They won't know what to do. Sometimes they'll even ask him what to do. Now God can he can corral a man if he wants to. But it's not, see, the way we want our children to love God and our people to love God, that's got to be from their will. Now we can pray for their safety and God can keep them safe even though they're in some form of rebellion. But if they keep on rebelling, they're going to get hurt. And we can pray for them that they see, but once they see, they got to make the choice to change. That's not your fault if they don't. But your continual love will help them eventually make the choice to serve God on their own free will. So when it comes to others, that's up to them. If your spouse do you good or bad, that's because that's what they wanted to do. And you know, you can try to change a person's will all you want, it'll just frustrate you. They have to want to do what they're doing. But when it comes to a president or a mayor or any leader that's over your life to help you, pray for them, pray for their safety, pray for them to make the wisest choices. And the Lord can corral that rascal. He can. It's all through the Bible, folks. It's all through the Word of God. He can cause them to do what he needs them to do. And if they won't do it, he can cause them to do something and they'll be in a state of rebellion and they will get judged. And if they do the wrong thing and stick with it, it can end their term. God can give a man over to his own way and get him out of the way if he has to. No, it's not personal. The problem is people make things personal. They may do something that really disgusts you. But pray for them anyway, because God can corral that rascal. Just like a man herd cows, he can herd a president. He can corral him, make him go through the gate and shut the door. He can open doors that no man can shut, shut doors no man can open until he do what's necessary. And if you want that to happen, you got to be praying for it. And don't trust that others are going to pray for it. Sometimes you may be the only person that's praying for what needs to be done. But the work of the ministry, the format is in the instruction. Stick as you follow God. You can't make a plan for the format. You can't. I don't make a plan for my ministry. I just plan to obey. I don't have a format. I mean a format of my own. I plan to do exactly what God say do. My first website, I couldn't work it for 3 years or 2.5 years. And I said, Lord, I got to do something about this website. And I said, give me wisdom what to do, how to deal with this obstacle, because I want to be putting these broadcasts on the website. It could be a blessing to people. And in 2015, around January, I think it was, the Lord said, newlivingletters.com. He gave me the website. And when I went and got the domain name, it was nobody had it. And everything worked out. And I couldn't work my new site. I said, Lord, I need somebody to help me know how to make audio pages. You know, make the audio work. And nobody knew how to do it. And I said, Lord, the next person I talk to, help me get to the person that can help me do this. And a young lady answered the phone, and she said, oh, I know how to do it. She told me exactly what to do. See, some things, when you involve the Holy Spirit, you're progressive. All the obstacles in your way will be removed and destroyed. But you have to, it has to be your will, your love to do it. If you don't have the love, you will not do it. When I see the potential of what God can do in others, it motivates me. And when people are so apathetic and they don't want to listen, now your closest people are probably not going to listen to your website. That's just the way it is. Your own church members, family, friends, they probably won't listen to your website much. Some people will, most people won't. They'll listen to somebody else's. But I'm believing God to send people to this word that want to obey Him. In fact, He instructed me that way. He was gonna. I do my part. I put it in God's hands, and He blesses it and causes it to do all that He wants it to do. And I believe for that. And I can't see it, but I thank Him for it. It's part of the format. And when the Lord gives you the instructions, as He reveals your instructions, the format, you're obeying the instruction, and a format is revealed. That's what I'm trying to say. The format is revealed over time, but it's always consistent with the first instruction. And He taught me things about my ministry. And I understand why it's the way that it is. There's a reason for everything. God thought this out a long time ago. But He reveals it to me currently, step by step. And it amazes me what He's doing. Now, when we left Saul, I ended the last broadcast saying how Saul killed the priest. Now this man was so mad and driven by his fear of not being king that he killed God's priest. Now this caused a big problem. It left when you kill a priest like the one he killed, it left a void. Abiathar, the son of Amalek, fled to David to Keilah. Now this is I gotta back up. I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. Sorry about that. Verse 9, and this is 1 Samuel chapter 22. Now, Doeg was there. He was the herder of Saul's cattle. Verse 9 says, "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob. And they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou givest him bread and a sword, and has inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants is David, which is the king's son. Which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house. See, there was no reason for Ahimelech to doubt David. Saul is so unreasonable right now. Now watch what happens. Verse 15. This is 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 15. Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. Now his servants was wiser than him. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew them, and slew on that day 80, that's 80, and 5 persons. A score is 20. That's 80, that's 80 people. That's and 5, that's 85, and that did wear a linen ephod. Now this was sin. This is genocide. This is murder. This is evil. Now this king was anointed. The reason I'm giving this is because the Laodicean church is no different. They are lukewarm. They hold a position, but they don't have the love of God in them. They have a love of the world which works like leaven, which caused them to be just as bitter as Saul is. They may not go out and murder, but what is in God is looking at the heart. If a man looks on a woman and lusts after, look what's in his heart. The Lord is looking at what is in his heart. Even if he didn't do the actions yet, those are seeds of sin growing in him. This is what the Lord is seeing. This is the murder that comes after that seed grows. And the Lord cannot let that enter heaven. If a person will betray Jesus, the blood of Jesus, they were saved, they tasted, and they received the Holy Spirit, and then they were anointed. And then they love the world enough to work mischief, to work evil, to do wrong on purpose with intent. What's the difference between that person and what Satan did, what Lucifer did? There's no difference. It's the same sin. If you follow the world somewhere, that your Satan is the king you're following. It can't be any other way. So when I see these kind of things, I consider myself. I say, Lord, I don't want anything growing in me. I don't want to smell like Lucifer. I don't want to smell like Satan in your presence. I don't want any of his wicked ways in my heart, period. So I start speaking. Every time I want to make change, I speak. I speak God's word until I make the desired change, until I know for certain that there's nothing going on. I say that I hate certain sins. There's no limit to how much you can hate a sin. You hate it, like I said in the last website broadcast, God still grows. I say that because we grow from glory to glory. God grows from glory to glory too. Even though he knows everything, he's more determined, he's more loving, he's more kind as time goes on and continues. God hates sin more and more. He is determined against it. And I learned to be the same way in my life. Because I don't ever want to betray the format, the holy DNA of God's work. And the only way I can do a pure work is to be pure, to look at him. When I see things, people that would have normally tempted me, and it's not a bother, that's because the Lord did a work. And I was determined to learn things from the Lord. There are things that used to bother me, and I can laugh at it now. I remember things would make me angry or frustrated. I can laugh at it. And when I got in fear one time, and I knew, and I in the Lord's presence, I knew he didn't like it, so I started working on it. This was back in the 80s, like 88 or 89. I said, the Lord didn't like that. And I just decided I would not fear in his presence anything. And I found you find yourself doing things you normally would not have done when you speak changes in your life. Whatever you want to change, don't fear it. That's the first, right off the bat, don't fear it. When you don't fear it, it has no control over you. It has no power over you. You can't be driven to darkness with it. And when in pride, I used to curse pride. I hate that sin because that's the one God hates the most. Because that's the sin that when people get into that, they don't come back. Either they learn to hate it, most people don't. If they get in pride, they start betraying people. They start working evil, just like King Saul did here. He had Doeg to kill 85 people. His servants wouldn't even touch him. And that caused them to lose respect for Saul. I promise you, if I saw my leader do something like that, I'd be done with him. But being a king, you know, you can't just leave a king. It's different. People are trained different and groomed different to respect whatever the kings say. But I know they lost respect for him. And this caused him a lot of problems later, because he was not guiltless. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both the men and women, children, suckling, and oxen, and asses, and sheep, with the edge of the sword. Now look at this. He killed the priests, then he turned around and killed the people of Nob, just like he was supposed to kill the people of Amalek. Now he's killing God's people. He went from refraining to kill Satan's people, and now he's killing God's people. Innocent people had nothing to do with the misunderstanding that he had against Ahithophel, against the priest. This is how far it went. And this is evil. And with this kind of pride, you can't even see it. He murdered Ahimelech, the priest of God. And he was a good priest. He did what he was supposed to do. Killed his house. Killed his lineage. Then he killed the people of his town. Verse 20, and one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahithophel, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now, David was in a peculiar position. He knew that he didn't think Saul would do something that bad, but he knew that Doeg would tell him. He knew that right off the bat. Being an anointed man, a king, he could see, you know, when God anoints you to do something, you can see more than you do as a man. It's like having a heightened sense of abilities coming from the Lord to you. He knew that Doeg was going to do that, but he didn't know that Saul would murder people, innocent people, priests of all people, which left a void in Israel. Because it's hard to find a person that would be as true as Ahimelech was. You know, he was a good priest. Then he killed a whole town because he was mad, driven by greed and pride and fear. Fear is a driver. You'll do all the things necessary. See, the laws of sowing and reaping. A man can't do something like that and walk away and nothing happened to him. See, the laws of sowing and reaping, they work against you. I've seen so many drug dealers, they come to nothing. They live in fear all the while they're doing wrong. Everybody's a policeman. They don't know who to trust. They watch their friends. They start watching their family. If a new person drive up in a neighborhood, they watch. Who is that? Where he come from? That's the police. They're edgy. They can't sit still. And they're driven with fear and the love of money. And their lives become so weak that they, even when they want to stop, it's hard for them to stop. Sometimes they're glad they went to jail to get away from that life. But they don't know anything else. And when they get out, they have to have a real bitter taste of that stuff before they quit. Because it's addictive to them, just like the drugs are addictive to the people who take them. The whole thing is bad. But I watched them. They always lose. They either get killed, they die, or they die broke, or they go broke. And the money that they gain, it doesn't last long. They make money fast, but they lose it just as fast. It's a cruel way to live. The laws of sowing and reaping would have eventually stopped Saul in his tracks. And he didn't quit. He did worse. He did other things too. Now, we're out of time again.